Father, we thank you for our time of worship. God, I hope and pray that we have blessed you from pure, sincere, authentic hearts, God. God, I pray that your word reigns absolutely true. God, we would be hungry for truth. God, fill this place with people who are hungry to hear truth. Hungry, God, to understand the reality of what truth says compared to everything else, God. God, that we would long for truth. God, give us an ear to hear from you this morning. God, give us an eye to see exactly what we need to see. God, that our hearts will be ready to receive this morning. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. I want to hear from you. My heart is open. My eyes can see. My ears will hear. Father, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, we're in a series called Up Close and Personal. And we have gone through several different characters in Scripture in this series to really see what that relationship looks like. For those of us who know Christ Jesus, Lord, recognize it was our sin that has separated us from God. And it is our belief that Jesus Christ is Lord. And after confession and belief, to put ourselves under that, to surrender to His Word and recognize that this is truth, that we've called on the name of Jesus for salvation. And we recognize that in this we can walk in a relationship that is close, up close, and personal with God, the great creator of all the universe, that God has adopted us as sons and daughters, that we walk in such a way that we strive after Him, to walk in that nearness to Him, recognizing the very beginning God created us to be in relationship with Him, created us to worship Him and honor Him and adore Him and to glorify Him, and that we can come back to a place, because of the brokenness of sin, that we can come back to a place of relationship, being up close and personal. Sometimes we see God as so distant because He's so big. Man, He's such a great, powerful, great creator. How could He ever be close to me? That's not the biblical picture, man. That is a man-made up lie. God says, I am not a faraway God. I am an up-close God. And we recognize just who God is and how close He is to us. And we see it through so many men and women in Scripture. And we're going to examine one named Moses this morning. You may have heard of him. He's a huge hitter, man. He is a big daddy in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. You see it in Exodus 2, you see it in Hebrews 11, you see it in Acts 7. When they're going over the history of the church, when they're going over the history of the sons of Israel, when they're going over the big hitters in Scripture, there's Moses. Amazing. So let's go over Moses this morning. He was 120 years old when he died. We're going to cover about 80 years of that, maybe a little bit more. We'll see in just about a half an hour. So let's, man, if you could open up to two places with me this morning, please. Hebrews 11 and Exodus 2. And we're going to be flipping back and forth. Hebrews 11 and Exodus 2. And we're going to see where Moses had to walk in a place of obedience. We're going to see where Moses questioned himself. Who am I, Lord? Who? I can't do what you're calling me to do. Then he had to come to a place to recognize that even in me understanding that I can't do this by myself, I can't do this in what I'm equipped with, God shows up in a powerful way to remind him that it's God who does the work. Let me introduce to you Moses, please.
Oh, Moses, way back there in the wilderness, saw some smoke, came to the bush, and the bush was burning. God said, take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. Moses, I've chosen you to be my man. Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Moses, I've chosen you to work for me. Moses, I've chosen you to set my people free. Not me, Lord. Don't you know, I don't talk so good. I stutter all the time. Do you know my brother Aaron? Well, he can sing. like an angel. Talk like a preacher. Not me, Lord. Really, I don't talk so good. And another thing, how will they know that I've been here with you? How will they know what you've sent me to do? Don't you know in Egypt they want my head? Don't you know in Egypt they want me dead? Don't you know they'll never believe a single word I say? Maybe you better get this work done another way. Not me, Lord. What's that in your hand, Moses? Lord, it's my rod. Throw it down, Moses. Do you mean like on the ground? Yes, I said, throw it down, Moses. Lord, don't take my rod away from me. Don't you know it's my only security? Don't you know when you live here all alone, a man's gotta have something he can call his own? Not me, Lord. Throw it down, Moses. Throw it down, Moses. Throw it down, Moses. Well, Moses threw that rod to the ground, and that rod became a hissing snake. Well, Moses started running. Maybe you'd run. I know I'd run. He was running from a live rod. Running scared of what God's gonna do. Running scared with that hissing snake. Running scared he'd get a hold of you. And then the Lord said, stop. Pick it up, Moses, by its hail. Lord, you've got this whole thing wrong. Lord, you haven't been here long. Don't you know that you never pick up a hissing snake by its pick it up, Moses. Oh, Lord God, it's a rod again. It's a rod again. It's a rod again. Do you hear what I'm saying, Moses? Do you know what I'm saying, Moses? The rod of Moses became the rod of God. With the rod of God, strike the rock, water will come. with the rod of God, part the waters of the sea. With the rod of God, you can strike, O Pharaoh dead. With the rod of God, you can set my people free. So what do you hold in your hands today? Tell me, to what or to whom are you bound? Are you willing just give it up, let it go, just throw it down,
Amen. Come on. Yes. Awesome. You know, what is it that we hold that we know is holding us back? What is it that we know that we recognize that God has called you to something, whether it is parenting, whether it is God has called you to do a specific task, God has called you to do something, when you've got to come to a point to rely on your faith. And you've come to the point to say, God, who am I? I do not have the goods which you've called me to do. But God really comes to an understanding. You're going to hear it today. And folks, it's not about what you have to offer. It's about who God is. It's not about us and our weakness and our failures. We fail and we are so weak. But it's only in Him that we survive, and only in Him that we are strong, and only in Him that we proceed forward. It's only in Him, if we could get to the point, past the point, to say, God, who am I? What do I have to offer for you? We'll see what Moses had to go through. We'll see where Moses had to depend upon his up close and personal relationship with God and knowing God face to face, where he came to understand, I get it, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about what I have to offer, because what I have to offer is broken. But it's about what you have to offer and what you can do through me. Folks, when you get that, gang, when you understand that, you become unstoppable. When you understand when God has called you something, you allow your faith to move you in such a position. You will not worry about the fear of man. You will not worry about circumstances. You won't worry about the worldview. You will strive and you will succeed based on your faith and recognizing it's not even about me. It's about God in me, and He'll get the work done. That is just tremendous. It's huge. Now, come on, we want to see this. And I want to start back to the beginning. You see, when he was at the burning bush and he took his feet off and God gave him the directions, you know how old he was? He was 80 years old at that point. 80 years old at that point. We're going to see his first 40. We're going to see his second 40. We're going to see how he got to that point to be before God when he understood, take the staff and use it. Use it to strike the rock. Use it to split the sea. Use it to free my people. It'll be me working through you. Have no fear, Moses. I will be with you. Huge. Took him 80 years to get that. Come on, let's go back to the very beginning. All right? I want you to see this because Before Moses was born, there was a period where Joseph came. We know the story of Joseph. He came second in command in Egypt, second in command under the Pharaoh, brought the children of Israel, brought the sons of Israel out of a place of famine, out of a place of death, into Egypt, where they were fed and they prospered, and it was wonderful. Joseph died. That king died. The next king forgot all about Joseph and all that Joseph did for Egypt. Then we see all the sons of Israel, they begin to multiply. It's all Exodus 1. They begin to multiply, and they begin to grow in authority, and they begin to grow in power, and they begin to grow in might, and they begin to grow in number, so much so that the king, Pharaoh, became insecure and said, these people are going to outnumber us. These people are going to have the authority to overtake us. So you know what? We're going to put them in slavery. We're going to take them and we're going to put them in slavery, and they are going to work for us, and it is going to be a rigorous, tough work. We're going to have taskmasters over them. And Acts 7 says that they were evil. Acts 7 says that they just continued to work in the mud, and it was difficult, difficult work. And this was to just press them down so that they would never rise up. It's God's chosen people. Well, then, you know what? Amazing thing happened is the more they pressed them, the more they grew in number. The more they pressed them, the more power and more might they became. He's like, this isn't working. You know what we're going to do? We're going to eliminate the race. We're going to take them all out. So what we're going to do is take not the firstborn, but all sons, all male children who were born, we're going to throw them in the Nile. We're going to destroy them by having no males. We're going to destroy this race by any son, any male Hebrew that is born is to be killed by drowning, by throwing them in the Nile. This is evil. This is horrendous. We pick it up here in Exodus 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him. Remember, when he was born, they were supposed to dump him in the Nile. When he was born, they were supposed to take him out. For 3 months, they tried to hide Moses. When they could hide him no more, look at what she does. This is crazy. But we're going to see where she was acting in faith. We're going to see this. This is, okay, remember, she's supposed to dump him in the Nile, right? When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. I mean, who thinks it's a great idea that I was supposed to take this child and drown him and kill him in the Nile? So I'm going to make a basket and I'm just going to set him gently in the Nile. You would think, okay, the very last place I even want this child anywhere near is that grave. Now see this. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh. Now listen, this is the daughter of Pharaoh. This is the daughter of the king. This is the daughter of the one who came across with this law that all male Hebrews shall be drowned in the Nile. Listen, you got to recognize when the mom put this baby in this basket and set it in the bush right in the Nile, any Egyptian could have walked by and saw that this is a Hebrew child and kicked that basket over, and that would have been the end of the day. The Pharaoh's daughter, the one who came up with this evil law, sees this basket floating, tells one of her servants to go get the basket, brings the basket, and finds this Hebrew child in the basket, and the Hebrew child begins to cry. The Bible says that she had pity on this. She recognized him as a Hebrew. She knew her father's law. She knew she should have dumped him in the river. She cares for this child. And then this is amazing, because Moses' sister is watching this whole thing. Verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Isn't this amazing? That Moses' mother, who was walking by faith, saved the child, put the child right in the grave by a basket, believing God was going to show up and do a great work, and now has the privilege to be able to nurse and grow her own child, probably for the first 2 to 3 years. And then this takes place. This is amazing. Then the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Now look at it. Keep your finger there. Go over to Hebrews 11, please. Because I want you to see something. This is the big hitters of Scripture are found in Hebrews 11. They call it the all-star chapter. Those who've had great faith. You see, Abraham takes up the most part. You see, Moses takes up the second biggest part of Hebrews 11. But I want you to see something maybe you haven't seen before. Look at verse 23. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Please get that. Highlight his parents. Highlight by faith, and then highlight his parents. Folks, point number one to this is by faith, his parents. It was by faith, his parents. Don't miss the point that they are mentioned here in Hebrews 11, those who understood what it was to walk and live from a place of faith. It was his parents, folks. Look at this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. He didn't have faith at 3 months old. This is by his parents' faith. Because they saw that he was a beautiful child, they were not afraid of the king's edict or the king's law. Listen, they weren't concerned with what the king said they should do with their child. They weren't concerned with the law. They looked at Moses and they were functioning from a place of faith. Listen, please hear this. It was the parents' faith that put Moses in a place where God had called Moses. It was the parents' faith, the actions of the parents, walking up. Listen, please don't miss this. It wasn't because that he was a beautiful child. Oh, I don't want to kill my child. Listen, every parent's heart says their children is beautiful. Every parent's heart, it would be devastating to throw your child in the river. They weren't functioning from a place of emotion here, folks. It wasn't because they were better in emotion than the rest of the Hebrew parents. It wasn't because they had a higher sense of elevated emotion. There's no way we're going to do this. We're just going to try this and put them in a basket right on the Nile. That would be a bad idea. If you were walking in emotion, you'd remove him as far from that grave as possible. See, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, the only way to get faith is to hear from God. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. That's how, somehow, some way, the parents of Moses came to a place to walk in obedience to something that God had placed in their heart to do. That some way, somehow, by the faith of the parents, they positioned Moses to be in a specific place at a specific time so that God could take this Hebrew child and put him in the palace. What about you and I as parents? What about you and I as mom and dad, understanding and recognizing the very gifts that God has given us as children, to understand that, God, I understand that these children are a gift from you, and I understand that, God, you have given them to me, and it is my responsibility to walk out in faith and understand what it is to raise my child according to your word. I'm not looking at worldview. I'm not looking at political view. God, I'm looking at your view, and let my faith rise up as the parent to walk in such a place by my faith to position my children in a place where you have called them and you can use them. That, listen, when you see this in Hebrews 11, when you see it in Acts 7, when you see it in Exodus 2, it was the faith of Moses' parents that put Moses in a specific place that God would call him to the palace 80 years later. Not to the palace, but to the freedom of the children of Israel. 80 years later. And it started by the faith of the parents. Parents, don't miss that, please. You've got to raise your children according to the word of the Lord. You've got to raise your house in a position that you are not concerned with right and left. You're not concerned with this one believes or that one believes. You're not concerned with anything other than as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do whatever the heck you want to do. But my home, in my house, we're going to serve this. We're going to serve this God, the God of the word. We're going to serve Christ, our King and Savior. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's how firm you have to be. When the world comes knocking and the enemy comes knocking and the things start happening, you've got to come back to that place of faith, of walking in obedience, that you don't allow your emotions, you don't allow those natural affections to take over. But you allow the word of God to stand because you recognize it is by faith that I will raise my children. It is by faith that there will be a day. There will be a day. It might take 80 years, but there'll be a day that they will accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. Because it started with the parents' faith. Do you hear that, parents, mom and dad? Do you hear that it starts with you and your faith? It starts with you hearing from God It starts with you understanding that this is truth and we will build our house on this and nothing else. You understand that when you walk in this, you will be the minority all the time. You will be outnumbered all the time. You'll have to row against the stream. You'll have to be the one who fights against the grain. You'll have to be the one, if everyone else is against me, I'm going to stand on this. Man, if everything comes against my family, if the river's going one way and God says go the other way, I'm fighting upstream. Because I'm banking and relying on my faith. And not on worldview, political view, not on anyone other view except for this right here. Because so many times it's easy just to stop. So many times it's easy just to give in. So many times it's easy to look at our children and say, you know what, their time has passed. So easy. It was by faith of his parents that positioned him to be in the place where God needed to use him. Now mind you, Moses in his older age, he had to make up his own minds and he had to make up his own decisions. Your young adult children, their decisions are their decisions. But it was the positioning that they first started in faith to put Moses in the place he needed to be. Come on, look at this, please. Go back to Exodus 2. Here we've got Moses. Verse 11 says, the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses. Because she said, I drew him out of the water. Now, verse 11. Now, it came about in those days that when Moses had grown up, gang, this is 40 years later. We just hit a 40-year span. 40 years he's lived in the palace. 40 years he's lived under royalty. Tradition and history tell us that Pharaoh's daughter had no other sons. So Moses was the only son, means he was the rightful heir to that throne of Pharaoh. This means that this Hebrew child was sitting at the king's table. Isn't it incredible that the very king who was trying to wipe out the children of Israel, to wipe out and kill the whole race, God's plan was to put the one, the deliverer of that which he was trying to destroy, right next to him, eating him his potatoes. That's just incredible to me. Going, the one who's trying to wipe him out, God's plan, oh really? I'm going to set the deliverer right at your table. Gang, God is in control, so you know. And we look at this picture. We look at where Moses found himself. For 40 years, he was educated and he was trained as a king. For 40 years, he knew what it was to go to battle and be a warrior. For 40 years, he knew what it was to eat the king's food. For 40 years, he knew what it was to walk in royalty and wear a crown. For 40 years, he knew what it was to have unlimited riches. Listen, this is when Egypt was at their top game. All right, King Tut, the whole story. This is just a couple hundred years after this. Egypt was at their top game, man. They were wealthy. They had everything. They had land. They had authority. They had power. And here this Hebrew child for 40 years lived with everything that you could imagine. And then this happened. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. 40 years he lived in the palace. 40 years he sat at the king's table. 40 years he looked at his life. There's a point when he came to himself and said, this is not me. I'm like them out there in the field. I'm like those slaves that are being physically destroyed. I belong to them to be under a taskmaster. Now, you got to see, this is incredible. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He understood. There was a point that he knew that God had called him to a great work. So he looked this way and that. And when he saw that there was no one around, he struck the Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. And he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And they said to the offender, why are you fighting with your companion? But he said, who made you prince and judge over us? They knew who Moses was. They understood he sat at the king's table. They recognized that he was loyalty. Who are you to judge us? Well, we know what you did. We saw you kill that Egyptian and bury him. Right then, Moses knew the gig was up, man. He understood, man, Pharaoh is going to know. See what we see in the character of Moses here, though? He saw one getting beaten and he came to his defense. He delivered them. And then in Acts 7, man, it is so amazing because it's crystal clear that Moses knew that he was called to be the deliverer of the people. He knew that. Because he says they don't recognize me as the deliverer of their people. These two who are saying, listen, who are you to judge us? He walked away from that, knowing they don't recognize that God has called me to be their deliverer. And then he goes on this 40-year journey. 40 years of living in royalty. 40 years, folks. He understood. He was so willing to go to his people. He was so willing to give up everything. Do you understand when you're walking in faith, man, there are times that you have to give up to gain. There are times that you have to recognize what it is to give up. He had everything. You've got to understand that. He had everything for 40. You talk about the mold that he was in for 40 years. And he was willing to go to his brethren and give up everything. Man, Luke 9, Jesus tells us this. We've got to see this, even in our own walk. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Man, he's talking to a crowd who recognizes what it means to take up your cross. And when Jesus mentions cross, that is a sign of death. They recognized crucifixion. The crucifixion wasn't first with Jesus. They recognized men on a cross, streets lined with crosses where men would hang and die. So when Jesus is saying, you need to take up your cross, you need to pick up your death daily, come to a place to die to yourself, to follow me. And then he says this. Now think about Moses, who gave up everything. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake. Listen, Moses knew that God had called him to deliver his people. He knew that at 40. And they rejected him. He comes to this place here. He is the one who will save it. For what is a man who profited if he gains the whole world, loses and forfeits himself, or loses his soul? What is it, folks? You have everything that you want in this world, but you don't have Jesus. You have followed after the pleasures of sin and you haven't given anything up for Christ. Look at Hebrews 11. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, this is when he's now 40, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather. Life is full of choices, folks. Life is full. He had it made. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. My heart is to be with them. And they give up this because this isn't who I am. But my heart is to be with them. Choosing rather to give up the pleasures of sin and having everything, to go to a place to be with the slaves, knowing that he was their deliverer, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Do you understand that everything in his life is temporary? The only thing that is eternal is what we do for him. The only thing that is eternal is our work for him, our service for him. The only thing that lasts forever, the things that we put on our plate, that God has put to their walking in faith, saying, God, I am yours. I surrender. God, let me work for you today. God, let me be salt and light today. God, let me consider and do what you have called me to do. God, it is my choice to follow and to serve you. This is what he did. Gave up everything to walk rather in slavery than it was to live in the palace. Then we go back to Genesis. This is incredible. Here now he knows after 40 years living in the palace, Pharaoh is now his stepdad's looking to kill him because he took out one of the Egyptians. Now he knows that he's going to go to his Hebrew brother. And he tries to kill him. And he runs. Verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came to draw water and fill the troughs with water, their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. Acts 7 calls these shepherds evil men. These evil men came. And now look what Moses does. He's on the run now. And he's seeing this take place. Again, another character trait of Moses, being one who defends, being one who delivers. Then Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Listen, Moses was a beast, gang. Moses knew how to fight. Moses was trained and educated. Moses was a leader of a warrior. He knew what it was to simply disband 7 evil shepherds. And he protected these 7 women. We don't know if there's seven shepherds. There were seven women and some shepherds. And we knew that Moses had the ability to defend these ladies. And then he helps them water the flock. And they come back to their dad, who is Jethro. And Jethro's like, how did you get it done so quick? Well, there was this man, and he protected us, and he helped us water the flock. And he's like, okay, bring him here. And for the next 40 years, Moses, who once was on the battlefield, Moses, who once led armies, Moses, who once sat at the king's table, for 40 years sat in a field to shepherd stinky sheep. Do you realize that his character led him to that 40 years? Do you realize that his character of just wanting to defend these innocent girls, his character of what it was to deliver these girls, his character of what it was to have one act of standing up to them, led him to the next 40-year journey? His one act of standing up with kindness, his one act of watching the character of God through him, his one act of who he was in his character to be one who defends, to be one who delivers, his one act led to his wife, led to his two sons, led to him in his next 40 years. Please hear this, gang. You have no idea where you may be in a week. You have no idea how God could use your very next move to plan the rest of your days. You got to see that. When you're walking in faith and you're trusting in God, you have no idea what could happen tomorrow. You think he had it all planned out? If I stick up for these seven girls, that is my next 40 years right there. He might have saw one of the girls and said, ho, she could be my wife. I'm going to protect her. I don't know. You know, who knows? But point is, his one act of kindness led to his next 40 years. Him being a deliverer and defender, that was with him all these years. And we see it over and over. Now we see that he comes to this place. For 40 years, served Jethro, got married, had two sons, served as a shepherd. And he was totally cool with that. I am good. I am content on this hill. I've got my wife. I've got my kids. Things are great for me. He understood his Hebrew brother and rejected him. They refused him. They wanted nothing to do with him. So he's fine on the hill. And we see this in Exodus again. We see in chapter 3, we see what we saw demonstrated here, the burning bush experience. Folks, he's now 80 years old. 80 years old. Sees this burning bush, checks it out. And God does three things. He reveals himself. He reveals his promise. He reveals his purpose. He reveals himself in Exodus 3:6. He said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Look at this. I am the God of your father. Your father, the one who walked in faith, who gave you up 80 years ago, I was his God. He had a reverence and a fear for me, and he acted out on faith, on obedience, to get you where you're at today. He reveals himself to Moses. And then we see it in verse 8. This is his promise. And I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, a land that flows with milk and honey, a place of the Canaanites. And he goes in and says, this is the promised land. I am giving you a promise that I am taking them from slavery and I'm putting them into the abundance of freedom, into a land that they have never known before. And it's such abundance that it flows with milk and honey, with such abundance. And this is the promise that he gives Moses. And then he says this right here. This is incredible. Verse 10. Therefore, come now and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people to the sons of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses says to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I had my shot. They rejected me. I believed in my heart that you've called me to be the deliverer. I don't talk so good. I'm a stutterer. I'm just a shepherd right now. Had the shot in the palace. Once was a warrior, a leader. Who am I? You know what's amazing in this? Please see this. You know what's incredible? We can go before God and say, who am I? I don't deserve this. Oh, and we can have this ridiculous pity party for ourselves. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. God, who you can't use me because I'm so useless. And God, I'm not like that one. And I'm like that, like this one. And God, I don't have this and I don't have that. God, who you can't ever use me because who am I? You know what? That, come on. That is such a silly little pity party that we give before God. And here Moses throw himself a pity party. Oh, who am I, God? You know what I don't see? I never see God answer his question. I never see God respond to that question. You know what God says? Please get this. This is huge. You get this, you're different. And he says, certainly I will be with you. Moses, if you would understand right now when you're 80 years old, if you get this, if you understand this, that it is not about who you are. Moses, it's about who I am. It's not about what you have to offer. It's about you understanding that in your faith, I will be with you. Moses, it's me who's freeing the people. Moses, it's me who's going to cause the water to come. Moses, it's me who's going to cause the 10 plagues. Moses, it's me who's going to split the sea. All you need to do is obey. That's what happens in our lives if we really come to the place to get it. It's not what you have to offer because we're all broken. We're all desperate. If you really thought you had something to offer God, to help him in his journey, it is God using us in a powerful, incredible, privileged way. That you would understand, God, I don't have anything to offer you, but I know that I need to act out in my faith, and I know what you've called me to, and I know what you're doing in my life, and God, I know that's not what I have to offer. I know it's what you can do. I know it's me walking in faith and trusting that you'll be with me in every step. And we see Moses goes to Pharaoh. After 10 plagues, the people get freed. They come to the Red Sea, splits the Red Sea, brings them to the Promised Land. They refuse. And then his next 40 years is in the wilderness for 40 years wandering, banking on the promise of God right here in verse 8. I've come to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and bring them up to the land that is good and spacious land, a land that flows with milk and honey. That promise ringing over and over and over. Well, again, after 40 years, he brings them right to the threshold, man. He brings them right to the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 34, we see where he is right there at the promised land. And God says, Moses, you can't go in. And then the Bible says that Moses died. And we see something we see nowhere else in Scripture. We see where God knew Moses so well and had such, honestly, such an understanding of Moses, where Moses served him, that we see something we never see in Scripture. Where the Bible says, and then God buried Moses. He didn't have a funeral. He didn't have pallbearers. He didn't have a person. He had God himself, whatever that looked like. Maybe God came down and dug the hole. Maybe God just spit and the hole became. Maybe God just, I don't know what happened. But we know this, that God showed such honor towards Moses that it was God himself who buried his servant, Moses. And the Bible says that to this day, no one knows where Moses had been buried. Wow. And then we see this. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, from whom the Lord knew face to face, whom the Lord knew up close and personal. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent to him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, for all the mighty power, for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. You know what happens at the end of his days? They go over his resume. Isn't it incredible that the end of Moses' life has declared all the things that he has done? Folks, at the end of your day, when all is said and done, what's your resume look like? Serious question. Bow your heads, please. when all is said and done, the big question is, what have I done? When my time is up, what have I done with my time? Please don't look at your age and say it's too late. My man Moses was 80 years old when he got the charge to go. For 40 years, miracle after miracle, walking in the wilderness, led his people. Gang, it wasn't easy. There were points where they wanted to stone Moses. They were angry with Moses. They complained. They whined. They wimped out. Over and over and over, they came against Moses. See, he brought us out here to be free. We'd be better off being slaves. What? It wasn't easy for Moses. But I can imagine that conversation with God came back. God, I'm not equipped for this. God, I can't do this. God, who am I to be able to do this? God, they want to stone me. Did you hear that? They want to kill me. God, who am I? Certainly I will be with you. I can imagine that over and over and over and over. Certainly I'll be with you. Moses, it's not about what you have to offer. It's about you knowing that I am with you. It is about you walking in faith. It was, again, Hebrews 11, it was by faith that Moses was able to split the Red Sea by the power of God. Moses, it is your faith, Moses. It's not what you got to offer me. It's about me being faithful to you. That's the God we serve. That's Almighty God. So it's not about what you offer me. It's about me knowing, about you knowing that I am with you. When I've called you to something, when I've called you to parenting, when I've recognized who you are as the gifts that I've given you. So it's you walking in faith in your home, leading your kids to a place that they need to be. When God has put a specific task in you, you know from the Word of God. It's not about what you have to offer. It's not about your insecurities. It's knowing. Certainly. It was an absolute promise. Certainly. Know for sure that I will be with you. That's incredible promise. I could think that that just played over and over and over in Moses. Where at his death it came out that God knew Moses face to face. Father, we're just here this morning. Thank you for speaking to us today. Folks, what is it that truly is in the way? What is it that you are holding on to? Well, you know God has said, lay that thing down. You holding on to the worldview? You holding on to run with the majority? You holding on to the political view? You holding on to your own insecurities? Are you banking on your own pity party? Would you come to a place to know that God's not going to answer that? But God gives you such an incredible promise. I will be with you. Now lay it down. Father, in this moment, just speak to us. By your Spirit, God, speak to us. Whatever's in our life, God, that we need to lay down. God, if it was our yesterdays, if it was our sins from past, God, if it's our insecurities, God, if it's our own little pity party, oh, God, please, that we lay it down. That we see your promise in the Word. Not about what I have to offer. But it's about you never letting us go. It's about you never letting us go. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please. Let's just close out in a song.